Mike Schaefer, Husker 24/7 Sports, joining us here on AM 590 Hotline. And Mike, I know you are also a fan of just pointless dribble when it comes to movies. Maybe not as much as I am, but I know that you always can give a solid take. Now, did you see at least enough of the original Karate Kid to be able to speak well on it?
I have not watched The Karate Kid in probably 20 years, maybe a little longer.
Oh, wow.
It's not a movie that ever resonated with me in the sort of nostalgic way that it has for other people. This is a very bad late 80s, early 90s movie that you may or may not remember. I have probably seen Three Ninjas more than I've seen Karate Kid.
I have seen that.
Yeah. So, I'm not a big Karate Kid guy. So I haven't done the Cobra Kai thing that I think YouTube TV has or whatever. So I may not be the best person for this.
Okay. Well, you remember the scene though when Daniel gets taken out by one of the members of the Cobra Kai by the name of Bobby. He gets taken out. You think he's going to be done and Johnny's going to get the trophy. It's all over. Of course, Miyagi rubs his hands together. He makes Daniel's leg better. And we get that epic final. My hot take today is I feel Bobby, the guy who took out Daniel, would have actually had a chance to beat his own teammate Johnny had he not gotten DQ'd, because I think Bobby had a lot of skill that got overlooked. That's my hot take, is that I would have rather seen Bobby take on Johnny in the All-Valley Final and not Daniel. Am I crazy?
But because it's a movie, you need the most villainous guy or the guy most positioned to be the villain to be in that final, right? Like, he's maybe not the most talented. I think you're right on this. I mean, I think this is fair. I don't have any problem with that,
okay.
But I also understand why Hollywood would need it in such a way that you get the most villainous guy there.
Yeah. Hey, this is the stuff we're talking about right now under quarantine, you know?
Yeah, no. I mean, I was listening to you talk about the NFL draft, and I don't think teams need more time to be able to evaluate and scout because the game film is all right there.
Well,
like, everything they need to know is available to them on that game film. I mean, yeah, they might not be able to have the in-person interviews where they can ask the delightfully dumb questions that get revealed and then we mock them for it. But I have never been, they had the combine. I've never been a big pro day person.
Okay.
Because I don't think the numbers that come out of there generally are as accurate as what you're going to get otherwise. They do miss out on the individual workouts and the ability to bring guys to, you know, for the Vikings, it'd be Winter Park. For the Bears, I don't know where their secondary team stuff is at in Chicago. But they'd miss out on that. And I do think there's probably makes a difference in how you evaluate some of the guys on the further end. But some of your most known quantities, you're already going to sort of know. And you still have that game film to fall back on. And this is why they've been having guys that are now draft eligible. You've been scouting for 3 years. I mean, This is why you pay the guy who wears the quarter zip that says Vikings on it and sits in Memorial Stadium's press box. And so, if you can't trust the judgment of the people you've been paying for 3 years to do this, it does seem a little odd to me. But I also get where you come from with there isn't a rush.
Right. That's my only issue.
Right. But at the same time, you could argue that the NFL would be bigger heroes to their fan base by resuming and resembling normalcy as much as possible by having that draft.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't, and TJ had a similar take, and I don't think you guys are wrong with your thoughts on it, too. That's my only thing, is if the general managers are all kind of unified in the thought that they could benefit from more time. If you were up against some kind of truncated timetable because you got to get to OTAs, you got to get to minicamp, I totally get why you would want to keep it on schedule. But knowing that that's probably not going to happen, I don't see the harm in it. But I think it's a good point you bring up, though, about trying to have some sense of normalcy, too, when it does come to having it on the date that it was originally scheduled for. So I can definitely see both sides of it from that standpoint. I just think if the general managers are truly concerned that they will not be able to conduct the kind of, you know, in-person interviews and some of the workouts that might pertain to their actual system, then, okay, if they need a couple more weeks to get creative on how they want to evaluate, then what's really the harm, I guess?
Yeah. Can I ask you something? Do you have a favorite player in this draft? Not necessarily someone that you think the Bears are going to get, but just a guy that you're just kind of excited to see his NFL career?
Chase Young, without question.
Is it because of that some people have question as to how he's going to produce against top teams because of the way his numbers looked against Michigan or Clemson, or just because he's a freak?
I think it's more of the athlete himself and some of the guys that I kind of consider to be, you know, pretty plugged in to the NFL talent evaluation. Guys like Louis Riddick and, you know, some of the more mainstream guys that you hear, they think not only is he going to be a surefire all-pro type guy, but they think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like Joel Klatt was talking about that too. I respect a lot of what Joel Klatt says. I think taking what he did at college is one thing, but just, yeah, kind of what you pointed out, his natural ability and just that freakish athleticism. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm so intrigued to see how his career plays out with the potential that resides there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I'm glad you said that about Joel Klatt, because I think he's maybe the best in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had me do a draft of all of the college football analysts, that's maybe the guy I would want number one. I really enjoy the way that he does things. I enjoy the way that he thinks. I like Joel Klatt a lot, so I'm glad that we're on the same team.
We are. We're Team Klatt. That's good. Schaaf, what are you tracking right now? I know recruiting still has been giving us some storylines and some headlines for Nebraska. What are you doing these days?
You know what's kind of weird, Nick, is that recruiting is always, this time of year, we're always talking about it, but it's kind of the only thing happening in college sports right now.
Right.
And so there's a lot going on, and I've kind of noticed that you have a lot of recruits that are starting to sort of recognize that they have this platform, if you will. And you're getting a lot of these top lists and you're seeing some commitments because they're kind of the biggest thing in town and they're being covered in that way. And of course we always do that in Nebraska as it is anyways, but you know, Christopher Paul committed on Friday. I've seen Nebraska mentioned, I'd say in a good handful of 7-8 different guys that have put out their list of their top teams recently. You know, this morning, Tommy Hill, a wide receiver, defensive back, athlete, out of Florida, out of the Orlando area, Edgewater High School. He put out his top five. Nebraska's in that, along with Arizona State, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. So some really good teams to be in company with there. And he was expected to take a visit in April to Nebraska. And so their relationship is really good. He's someone to keep an eye on. And then Landon Jackson, an outside linebacker, 6'6", 240 pounds, just a pure pass rusher at the high school level. You'd obviously have to get better and stronger and all of that at the college level, but the kind of guy that Nebraska fans would pretty much sell their grandparents for at this point to get is the sort of player they really, really need. They've got a ton of competition to go through, but they made his top 12, which you can mock that all you want, but Nebraska's going to have to beat out the likes of Alabama, Oklahoma, Oregon, Ohio State, teams like that, Notre Dame, Miami, LSU, to get this kid. But they've got a good spot there, too, and they've been recruiting him for more than a year. So there's a ton of stuff to follow in recruiting, but just jumping around here and going back to Christopher Paul, big get for Nebraska. I actually just talked to him on my own radio show today. Great, great kid. He is going to be a fan favorite. I have little doubt about that. And if he provides the kind of production he did in high school with 157 tackles and 4.5 sacks, I think he'll be more than a fan favorite at Nebraska.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts because this kind of got my attention last week when we saw the 24/7 rankings out, DeVon Jackson being ranked the highest rated outside linebacker in the country. You've had a chance to see some of what he can do. I know Nebraska offered him early in the process, and hopefully that bodes well. I'm not trying to get too geeked out about him, but, boy, it's hard not to when you see that early ranking. What have you liked about him, and do you think that he can hold down that ranking?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll stay at 25. That's going to be really hard, but 24/7 Sports loves DeVon Jackson. I mean, they love how he can move. They love the way he can run. They think he can be a true 4-3 outside linebacker. I think he probably slides inside as a 3-4 inside linebacker. with that speed that you can get sideline to sideline or you can go north-south with. But if he continues to grow and he gets to, say, 6'3", 6'4", he's definitely going to be an outside linebacker. He hasn't played as much as you would think as somebody that's rated number 25 in the country and a four-star recruit. He's played for Burke, but he hasn't been a full-time starter. And so he's got a lot to kind of prove to live up to this lofty expectation. But from a pure athleticism standpoint, this is a linebacker that can absolutely run, and he is a chiseled 6'2", 200 pounds that's only going to get bigger as time goes on.
Shafe, lastly, I know tomorrow we should be actually getting together and watching the Indians play. That's not going to happen. I know you had a spring training trip that was planned that didn't happen. So are you going to be decked out in Cleveland gear tomorrow, regardless of the circumstances?
Yeah, I'll probably have to. Wow, my voice really cracked there. Well before today.
You're excited. I get it.
That was embarrassing. Man, delete the audio of this, TJ, please. But I will certainly have to throw on the movie Major League or something tomorrow to make it feel like it's opening day. You're like this. You're a baseball guy. Opening day means a lot to me. Just those first few days of starting, even when the Indians are bad, like it's not the first 2 days of March Madness. It's not the divisional round in the NFL, which I love. I love those Saturday Sundays. But it is up there with some of my favorite sports days. Like when you get that kind of stretch of when they would do it on the Sunday night and you have that opening baseball game and then you get the all-day Monday and you get the teams hadn't played yet on Tuesday. I love that. I don't know why, but there's just something magical about the return of baseball for me that I know it's going to happen. I know they're going to play games at some point. But it hurts a little bit that it was supposed to be this week, that I was supposed to be in Arizona and Phoenix and Las Vegas and all of that stuff. I mean, but, you know, we're better off for it. I'm still alive, and so you gotta count your blessings. Right?
Absolutely. How's Slider handling it? Seeing a lot more of you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I work from home already, so I think he's pretty well used to it. He's not great at social distancing. Golden Retrievers generally aren't going to be very good at that.
Right.
But we're getting some walks in. The weather has turned for the better, and I'm actually in the car right now, and I'm going to take him to the park. So he's going to be very happy.
Awesome. Well, I know Slider will enjoy what could have been opening day with you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Shafe, be well, my man. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, take care, and I will work on that voice squeak. It will never happen.
Oh, it's going to be on a promo here coming soon. Don't you worry.
That sounds terrible. You're going to lose listeners.
Talk to you soon, man.
See ya.
Mike Shafer, Husker 24/7. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I had the same thought. No, that's not going to delete. That's either a promo or an intro right
there. It's a promo intro, especially when if he would have just brushed right by it, didn't say anything.
Yeah.
We would have let it slide, but the fact that he stopped in his thought and acknowledged it, well, yeah, this is what we do. And Shafe's a good sport. I mean, I know he can handle that, so that's fine.